Perhaps we'll make a start this morning. If you can take your hymnals and turn to hymn number 472. 472. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Let us stand to sing the entire hymn. May be seated. Let us bow our heads in prayer this morning. Our Father and our God, we come to thy throne of grace this morning to give thanks unto thee, O Lord, for giving us a message. O Lord, that we can come to thee trusting in that message, the message of thy Son that shed his blood on Calvary. Lord, may it be a meeting this morning with thy presence. Lord, we call thee in this morning. Save us from the arm of flesh. O Lord, save us from ritualistic practice this morning. Save us, O Lord, from routine. Lord, make us uncomfortable. We ask of thee that thou would be here this morning. For, Lord, we thank thee that salvation is not of any man. We thank thee, O Lord, that salvation, we don't have to work our way to heaven this morning. But, Lord, we thank thee for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee, O Lord, that he came, O Lord, he came as a servant, O Lord, that to give his word. And Lord, it was a receiving word that this world has received. Lord, that may it be preached this morning with a practicality of the Holy Spirit, O Lord, that thou would move upon us here this morning. And Lord, we do ask of thee, O Lord, to give us special help, that even in this time of uncertainty, that Lord, that we know not tomorrow what will come. But Lord, we do ask of Thee that we have a more sure word of prophecy, that we have the word of God indeed. And Lord, we do remember Thy prayer request this morning. Lord, we rejoice to see Thy presence of Dr. Frank McClellan here. We do give thanks unto Thee, O Lord, for Thy healing touch upon him, for Thou art the great physician. And Lord, we do remember even the other prayer requests here this morning. We pray also for Dr. Mark Allison, Lord, that we do lift up Thy servant to Thee. And Lord, we do ask of Thy healing touch. And Lord, we do even ask of Thee for even those unsaid prayer requests this morning, to Lord, to answer prayer here and to give strength, O Lord, for Thou art the great God, the Jehovah God, that there is none other like Thee. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? That, Lord, we do thank Thee this morning. And make it a special time. Lord, may the receiving hearts be open to the word this morning. Lord, give us ears this morning to hear. Lord, give us a thinking time of the things of eternity. Help us to inquire to Thee, not about the things of this world, but may we inquire to heaven about the things of God and to glorify Thee. Lord, shut us out from this world. Lord, shut us out from the media. Shut us out from the deception of the devil and his lies, that we may be shut in with Christ and His holy blood that was shed for Calvary. Give help this morning. Give help to everyone, O Lord, to understand what Thou hast message, a message from God indeed. For we ask of all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Can you please take your hymnal and turn to hymn number 349. Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. Let us stand to sing the entire hymn.
Thank you.
You may be seated. And now a word to the children of the congregation. A word from Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet, as he sees the future. And it's appropriate for our text this morning, as our text is in Isaiah as well. People knew Isaiah, that he was close with the Lord. Isaiah was a prophet, and his job was to tell people what God said. But people didn't always want to hear what Isaiah said. But Isaiah would not let the Lord down. Isaiah preached during the reigns of four different kings: King Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. King Uzziah ruled the land of Judah from the city of Jerusalem. At first, God blessed Uzziah because he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. But there became a time that Uzziah became proud, and he stopped obeying God, and therefore he became a leper and had to live alone until he died. King Uzziah reigned for over 60 years. When he died, his son Jotham took his place and reigned for 17 years. God blessed Jotham because he listened to what God had to say through Isaiah and the other prophets. King Jotham's son was Ahaz, and Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. Ahaz didn't care about God. He worshipped idols and false gods, and led many of God's people to do the same thing. But although Isaiah warned him, Ahaz wouldn't listen to God's messenger. Therefore, he died when he was only 35. God blessed the next king, Hezekiah, because he removed all the idols and false gods and prayed to the one and to the true God. When an enemy army attacked Judah, Hezekiah knew his army was not strong enough. So he asked Isaiah to pray for God's help. Isaiah sent this message to the king. This is what the Lord says: don't be afraid of this enemy. I will cause him to fall. The enemy itself, left with not even a fight. Although people around him didn't think much about God, Isaiah thought a lot about God, because he trusted his word. And that's one thing that you must trust: his word this morning. A message to all. And one day he had a vision, which is kind of like having a dream when you're not asleep. In the vision, Isaiah saw how glorious the Lord was, and he saw how holy the Lord was. Who shall I send? God asked in the vision. Here I am, Isaiah said, send me. Isaiah answered he was willing to do whatever God asked him to do. That in our lives we must be willing to do what God is asking us to do. Maybe Isaiah thought God would send him too far away, to faraway people who hadn't heard about God. But that wasn't God's plan. God told Isaiah to speak to his own people in his own country. He had to tell them that God was angry with their sin. This was Isaiah's message: that God was angry with their sin. There were other things Isaiah had to tell the people, wonderful things about a person who would be a strong deliverer and come to save them from their sin and from all their enemies. The Jewish people at that time, they call this person the Messiah. Even though they expected God to send the Messiah, many people lived as if he would never come. All these things that Isaiah said about the Messiah are written in his prophetic book. Although he wrote these things hundreds of years before they happened, every single word that Isaiah said about the Messiah came to pass. Isaiah said that God himself would give a sign. He said, "Behold, a virgin shall bear a son and call his name Emmanuel." People knew Isaiah was talking about God's Messiah. Because a woman could not be a virgin also and have a child at the same time. The name of Emmanuel means God with us. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah said that the Messiah would be great and to do great things. God also told Isaiah to tell the people that the Messiah would suffer and to be put to death. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah might have wondered how the Messiah could be great and powerful and also weak and injured, but Isaiah didn't argue with God. He accepted what the Lord has told him. Messiah was coming not just for the Jewish people, but God told Isaiah that the Messiah would be in light to the Gentiles. Gentiles are the people in this world who are not Jews. God loves everybody, and his Messiah would come to bless everyone and to bring salvation to every single one to the end of the earth. You see, here God knows we have done bad things. The Lord sees all things. You could hide your sin from your parents. You can hide your sin from your teacher. But you see, God knows all things, which is called sin. And the penalty for sin is eternal suffering and death. God loves us so much that he gave his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our penalty. Jesus came alive and went back to heaven. Now God can forgive our sins. If you want to turn from your sins, you can say this to God: "Dear God, I believe in Jesus, and he died for me, and now he lives again. Please come into my life and forgive my sins so I can have a new life and be with you forever." May the Lord bless his word to the young people. And I will call upon our brother here for the announcements, Brother Alex here.
Well, good morning, everyone. I want to give everyone a warm word of welcome this morning, especially our viewers online as well. You're very welcome to be with us this morning. Of course, we no stranger to us. Mr. Frank DiDerno is with us this morning, and you all know him. And we're very happy that he's with us this morning to take this morning's service. The pre-service prayer time will be at 5:50 downstairs. It'll also be on Zoom for those that are remaining at home. This evening's service will be at 6:30, the usual time. Pastor Daniel Olson will be taking that meeting. Of course, Pastor Saunders and our brother George, they're over in Calgary at the moment at the installation of the Reverend Backhurst and also their 40th anniversary meetings. So they should be returning home on Monday. And then in the Wednesday Bible study and prayer meeting will be at 7:30 via Zoom. The Reverend Saunders will be taking that meeting. Now, I would want to bring to your attention the annual general meeting will be held on September the 30th via Zoom. That's usually held on April, but of course, because of the pandemic, that wasn't possible. And then, so now we're going to have that meeting just on the 30th of September via Zoom. The latest edition of the Let the Bible Speak magazine is also available online for those that would like to read it. There's others to pray for. We want to ask you to pray for Dr. Allison, as he seems to have taken a turn for the worse, and we pray for Dr. Allison and for his family at this time. Also, the work in Liberia with the Reverend DeCanio is not too well at the moment, and in fact, he's quite sick, so you would need to pray for Reverend DeCanio. Also for Joanne, because obviously the workload has increased quite a bit for her. Our brother Richard Craig, too, down in Jamaica, is having some problem with his eyes at this time. So do pray that he can get that resolved and that the right doctors will return over to Jamaica to get that corrected. I think that is most of the announcements at this time. I'm just going to hand the meeting back over again to Mr. DeCanio, or Mr.
Sorry,
DeDermott.
That's all right. I've been called worse. That's okay.
Thank our brother for the necessary announcements. If we can please remain seated for the hymn, 570. 570. We will sing the entire hymn. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from the sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Let us remain seated for the entire hymn. Amen. If you can take your Bibles this morning, and please turn to the prophet Isaiah. If you can turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 21. Isaiah chapter 21, and we'll read the entire chapter. The burden of the desert of the sea. As whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it cometh from the desert from a terrible land. A grievous vision is declared unto me, the treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. Go up, O Elam. Besiege, O Media, all the siding thereof have I made to cease. Therefore are my loins filled with pain. Pangs have taken hold upon me, as the pangs of a woman that travaileth. I was bowed down at the hearing of it. I was dismayed at the seeing of it. My heart panted, fearfulness affrighted me. The night of my pleasure hath turned into fear unto me. Prepare thy table, watch in the watchtower. Eat, drink, arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, go set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses, and a chariot of camels, and he hearkened diligently with much heat. And he cried, a lion, my lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my word whole nights. And behold, here cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he hath broken unto the ground. O my threshing and the corn of my floor, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you. The burden of Duma, he calleth to me out of Seir. Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh, but also the night. If ye will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. The burden upon Arabia in the forest, in Arabia shall ye lodge. O ye traveling companions of Dedanim, the inhabitants of the land of Temah brought water to him that was thirsty. They prevented with their bread from that him that fled. For they fled from the swords, from the drawn sword, and from the bent bow, and from the grievousness of war. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, within a year according to the years of an hireling, and all the glory of Kedar shall fail. And the residue of the number of the archers and the mighty men of the children of Kedar shall be diminished, for the Lord God of Israel hath spoken it. May the Lord add his blessing to his inherent inspired word as we ask the Lord for the help in the preaching of his word. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we come before thee again, O Lord, to ask of thy blessing upon thy word, O Lord, that we do know that it is a more sure word of prophecy, that we do know that even sometimes it may be hard to understand, but Lord, we still know that thou wouldst have a divine purpose. Lord, give help in the preaching of thy word. Give understanding and clearness, O Lord, of thought, that the hearts of the hearers may be able to receive the word. And Lord, we do ask, even if there's a blind eye this morning, to remove the veil and to call in the Lord and his mighty power to save. Give help, O Lord, we ask, in Jesus' precious name, amen. Our text for this morning is found in Isaiah chapter 21 and verse 11. And it says here, "The burden of Duma, he calleth to me out of Seir." Duma here refers to Edom, which was south of Moab. And as I tried to paint the context to you this morning, Seir is another name for the same area. And this was an area where the descendants of Esau had settled. So this voice out of Seir, he's inquiring to God's man for the time, which is Isaiah. Here, he is wondering if it's safe to come out. Isaiah here is called a watchman. And he warns them of their impending judgment unless they return. And you must know that that return, that same word, means repent. In our text, we see some calamity or sad moral condition which is foreseen by the prophet. And there's one thing this morning I must bring to your attention, that God always has a man. There is always a man for the hour. Throughout Scripture, you'll always know that God always has a man. When Moses passed away, there was Joshua. It didn't stop. And one thing here I want to bring to your attention, the moral evil is fitly compared to darkness. The idea of night, what does night bring? Well, night brings darkness. The idea of night, which is used to portray night, darkness, portray error and sin. This was a time of darkness. This was not a time of prosperity. This was not a time of rejoicing. This was a dark time. They didn't know what tomorrow may come. They didn't know what the future held, but they went to God's man for the hour. This was the inquiry when he went to Isaiah. And the burden of Duma was, watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? In that time, there was watchmen divided into three parts to watch. 4 hours in the morning, 4 hours in the afternoon, and 4 hours at night. It was the watchman's duty to be the lookout. As he inquired about this, he was inquiring, are there any signs of the coming day in the time of darkness? Is there anything good going to come from this dark time? That we can make the same inquiry this morning with this time of calamity and the time of uncertainty and the great time of the pestilence that is upon the land. Because the reality is, no one knows what tomorrow may bring forth. When the Lord teaches us to number our days, He doesn't say to number our years. He doesn't say to number our months. Lord, teach us to number our days, was Moses' prayer. That we as the Lord's people must learn to number our days, rightly so. For we're living in a time that no man knows what tomorrow may bring forth. You see, here the world in its moral history had been for the most time in darkness. The darkest parts of this fallen earth is where sin is found, where it runs rampant. And as the people of God this morning, those who are saved, those who are blood-bought, it is your duty to discern the times in which you are living. That when you look at this fake news and the deception behind the news, that everyone seems to have an idea. But as a Christian, can you say in your heart that it is the judgment of sin? At night, sin is done in secret. It is done where no one is around. The indulgence of moral evil is just to satisfy the flesh. And you see here this morning, I must bring to your attention, either you're sitting here to glorify God and to enjoy fellowship with Him, or you're here with what the world says. Enjoy yourself and the pleasures of this world. Is that what your purpose is this morning? The world has a plan too. But you see here, there are those that who try ever so hard in this world to be morally good, trying to justify themselves with their good works. But I tell you, if you're able to discern the weather, you can see the dark clouds coming in, and you can see and you can tell your neighbor that there's a storm coming. You're able to discern the weather. So therefore, the Christian must be able to discern the times. After the flood, the world started anew from another head. The new world, however, it differed but a little from the old. And then God called Abraham and made his seed his chosen people. Through him, he might accomplish his perfect plan. God's perfect plan of salvation. You see here, throughout history, Greece furnished to Socrates and Plato, but because of her darkness and crimes, Greece soon went down to ruin. And the same with Rome. The great pillars of Rome. Judgment of God, right down to ruin. We may this morning inquire, as the voice out of Seir did, "Watchmen, what of the night? Is it getting any better? Is it getting any worse?" But I must point to your attention this morning. Where is your inquiry directed to? And if you're not saved this morning, your inquiry must be to God. What chance is there for this sin-darkened world? That this world is a perishing world, there is no doubt about it. But we may respond to the words of the prophet that he said, "The morning cometh." So there is a bit of light here. The morning cometh, but also the night. That was his message to the voice out of Seir. The morning cometh, but also the night. A night whose duration we may not be able to tell. The politicians can come with their data. They can come and they can tell you the tragedy of the world is that we're losing money. And they can tell you the tragedy of the pestilence upon the land, and there hasn't been a virus like this in so many years. But I tell you, that's not the tragedy. The tragedy is those that are dying in their sin. The tragedy of those who are dying in their sin, that are being brought up in a godless state without Christ. Going to the grave, rejecting Christ and trusting in the things of this world. That's the tragedy. It's not what the news tells you the tragedy is. Yes, the pestilence is a terrible thing. We must inquire to God this morning. And notice where the inquiry went. He went to God's man for the time. Watchman. That was Isaiah. He inquired to God's man. Let us consider here, firstly, in what way does the world treat the Word of God? In this prophecy, we see worldly response by the inquiring Edomite, which is accurately portrayed in our present day. The Apostle Peter teaches us to expect and to anticipate in the latter days, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, "Where is the promise of His coming?" This world, it challenges God's word when it says the very thing, "Where is the promise of His coming?" But Isaiah's prophecy was written many years before the Savior came. Would they not have said the same thing in his time? "You preach of a Messiah, but where is he?" You see here, time doesn't affect anything, does it? When you can have all the modern scholars go inside a room, you can have the best liberal academic scholars, and they can take the Bible and they can deny the blood. They can deny the virgin birth. They can deny that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. But you know something this morning? It doesn't change one iota in this book, does it? Doesn't change God's plan of salvation. It doesn't change what God set out to do in His plan from Genesis. Promise of a Savior. May the Lord wake us up this morning in the spiritual sleep to this fallen world. And those who are not saved this morning, you're in great danger, you see. You're in great danger, for the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. You're held captive by the devil and his deception. And I must bring to your attention that the devil uses the news. The devil uses the media. The slanderer, the liar, deceiver of the world. It's the devil. But as we see in our text, the morning cometh. The morning cometh for those that are in Christ. There is a light. Out of this darkened world, there is a light. And you see here, the morning cometh. What's the second half to that verse? Lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them, for those that are deceived, that they may see the light in Jesus Christ. Your sin-darkened world, you're standing here this morning trusting in the world. Many admired the way. Bible teaches broad is the way of destruction. Broad is the way of destruction. This world, it truly is a broad way. When you see the pestilence upon the land, that you're able to say in your heart, it is the judgment of sin. When you have the United States of America, 1 million abortions every year. And they said that there hasn't been a time where pornographic film has reached the views through the roof in every home. Brothers and sisters, the devil has a stamp on this world, doesn't he? The devil has his stamp of apostasy upon this world to clash against what the Lord has said. But thank God for that morning light this morning. The morning comes for those that are in Christ. There is our hope and surety. It is not a hope that might not come. You talk to some Christians and they say about this hope that, oh, I don't know if it's going to come. Christ might come. He might leave us. Second coming of Christ, it will come. Because God has said it. Not because of man has said it. You see here, in what way does the world treat the word of God? The great deception upon the land. But Isaiah, he responds to the scoffers of his time. He says, let him make speed. Because Isaiah took abuse. Isaiah, he took the lashes of the enemy. Let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. Listen to what he says here. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Because Isaiah, he trusted in God's word. I don't need to listen to what man has to say. I don't need to listen what the media has to say. Because God tells me there's going to be a Messiah. Isaiah figured it out, didn't he? And we also see the same answer of Ezekiel, which God commanded him to give, which was to the same effect of which Isaiah had to give to the Edomite inquirer. Tell them, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. Here we say the way that scoffers of this world treat the word of God, and how they speak of it. With an unbelieving heart. As Christians, we testify to Christ to a guilty world. We testify to the sinner about God's plan of salvation. A sinner cannot go to a sinner. He doesn't believe the gospel. So therefore, this morning, a watchman is not only the preacher, is it? But it's the whole body of Christ to give a word to the sinner. Here we see the lamentation that was said by Isaiah and afterwards repeated both by the Lord Jesus Christ and his servant Paul. Notice the words of the response that applies to our present time. Who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who has received the report of the gospel today? The world has been evangelized many times. Thessalonians, it says, in the end times, there shall be a falling away first. I don't have to prove that to you this morning, that there is a falling away. When a man takes a brick and he throws it through the glass of a business and then they go in and they loot the business. Lawlessness. We're living in a great time of warning. If there is a warning, the warning is now that sinner, you may inquire to God about the state of your soul. Inquire to God about the things of eternity. The devil, he wants to blind you and say to yourself, and maybe I'll come next week, and maybe I'll come to the Lord when my neighbor comes to the Lord. Why are you here this morning? Has not the Lord drawn you in here? The power of the effectual call of Jesus and his mighty power to save. Preachers may preach and angels may minister, but it's Jesus who saves. And his mighty power to save that we just sang in that hymn. But you see here, you must inquire to God. You see, look at his response, Isaiah's response. If ye will inquire, then inquire. If you're going to inquire to God this morning, then do it. God means business with his word. You don't play around with the things of eternity. We don't know if tomorrow's going to come. Inquire to him today. Forget about the slander this morning. For there is a greater light in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see here with the mocking attitude, notice the interrogation of the question. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? And you can see here that much learning doth make thee mad, as they mocked Apostle Paul. They called him a babbler. The world was never accepting of the gospel of Christ. What did they say to the Lord Jesus Christ, who spake as never any man spake and was the best preacher in this entire world? He was the God-man. Remember that word I showed you, return. Let's repent. Repentance unto salvation. Repentance unto salvation. Jesus Christ preached of repentance. And the church has gone cold, not preaching repentance unto salvation, that you can continue in your sin, that you can live like the devil and still be saved. Thank God this morning I don't have to follow the church. Thank God this morning I don't have to follow the teaching of any man, but I can come to what the Lord has told me. And when Jesus responded to them, he says, repent, or ye likewise shall perish also. And if my Jesus preached of repentance, then I'm going to preach of repentance. That you can stand here this morning and you can look to God and inquire to him and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. There must be a repentance unto salvation. Some trust in their wisdom. What do you trust in this morning? Let me ask you that. What is your hope in this morning? Either your hope is in Christ or it's in something else. And I tell you this, if your hope is not in Christ, if your hope is not in Jesus Christ, then I tell you, you're a slave to your hope. Your hope is killing you. You're a bondage to your hope. because the Bible only teaches of one way. There's not multiple ways. The hope, our sure hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Be not a bondage this morning to sin. And Jesus and his mighty power to save, that this morning light will come to you, that it may be not dim, but to shine that light in the darkness which portrays error and sin and immorality, but yet we have that light to shine. You see, some trust in their wisdom, for after that, the Bible says, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew him not. But it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But thank God we preach Christ crucified. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ I bring before you this morning. The power of God, Christ, the wisdom of God. There is your morning star. It is not found in man, nor is it found in this perishing world. Because this world is perishing. And when you inquire, then inquire. Inquire to God. And finally hear the instruction and judgment given to this perishing world. Notice here in our text how it tells the inquirer that though his countryman should yet have a season of prosperity, a night of fearful adversity awaited them. That many were comfortable in their ways before this virus came, before the pestilence came. Many were eating and drinking, and it was a good time of prosperity until the virus came. That they may inquire to him about the state of their soul. You may go on prospering for a while. The sinner may have his riches at his hand, trusting in that. You may try to account yourself as happy and be accepted with your carnal friends. But as the Word of God tells us, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and to lose his own soul? A little suffering for Christ's sake. But eternal fellowship with him and eternal life cannot be compared to the things of this world. But I tell you that God is calling upon the nations. He's calling the number of the political leaders. He's calling their number, and he's saying to them, return, come. That's what he's saying. How many nations have called for a time of prayer? How many of nations have turned to the Word of God? How many nations have looked to God's man for the hour? But to say that we can get through this together and we're going to defeat this thing, and you see here, we have the power to do it, but yet we're back where we started from. Man does not have the answer. The Bible says to cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils. But yet we can come to the truth this morning, and we can come to God's Word, that he made it very clear for the guilty sinner to become righteous before God. God's plan of salvation. Doesn't matter how many years. Doesn't matter how many times it was preached. God says in his Word that there is a message for the sinner that he may become righteous before God. And if you're inquiring to God this morning, how may I become righteous before God? It's the righteousness imputed unto us by Jesus Christ and his blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Now deemed yourself justified before the holy God. Are you justified this morning? Can you say, I'm justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, faith alone, in Christ alone? Come to the cross this morning. The Lord said that Whosoever shall call upon my name, I will in no whosoever. Bible says whosoever. You see here, to all those nations, and that's something here that throughout Scripture you always see that these nations, they're fighting against God. And we have it in our present time that these leaders you see, they're clashing with God. That's what they're doing. They're fighting with God. But you see here, when they fight with God, and when the almighty nations come up and they fight against God, I tell you, to fight against God is to fight against God Himself. To fight against the people of God is to fight against God Himself. And you say, well, where did you get that from? When Saul of Tarsus was rounding up the Christians, and he had with his puffed up chest, and when he would go and tie the Christians up and bring them to their persecution, what stopped Paul? It was that light. When the shining light shone to the Apostle Paul, and he said, Jesus said, Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me? When he was going after these Christians, he was going after Christ. And to all these nations that are fighting against the people of God, I don't know all the countries, I don't know all the persecutions, but I know this, that to fight against the people of God is to fight against God Himself. Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me? And notice the instruction, how the prophets answered, how the prophet answered to the Edomite inquirer. He says, if you will inquire seriously, inquire ye. And that's the message this morning. If you're going to inquire to God, then mean business with Him. Inquire seriously. Don't play around with the things of eternity. There are many warnings. When Christ is tugging the strings of your heart and He's saying, sinner, come home. Because Christ this morning, He didn't just die for the preacher. No, sir. Christ didn't just die for the missionary. Christ didn't just die for the Christian. It says Christ died for the ungodly. He came into this world to save sinners. And you must inquire to Him. Even as the same prophet said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Isaiah preached of Christ. Isaiah preached Christ. The Philippian, the Ethiopian eunuch, he was brought to a saving grace for the preaching of Christ. When Philip the evangelist, when he went to him and he showed him Christ and the prophet Isaiah. So therefore, let us conclude our message for this morning. It does not matter in this world whether you are in the morning or night, if you enjoy all the prosperity that the world can afford, so what will it be in the times of eternity? So what will it be when you face God face to face? Prepare to meet thy God. Choose this morning wisely. Because the outcome of that choice is going to reckon an eternity. And you see here the great warning and the seriousness of this message. The world cannot offer you eternal life. Do not fear to suffer for Christ's sake. Remember Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction with his people, with the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There is no other message. I don't want you to hear me this morning. I want you to hear the voice of the Lord. There is no other message for this perishing world. There is no other word. There is no other comment. There's no other argument. There's no other plea. For it is God's plan of salvation so that guilty sinners can become righteous before God. There is no other hope. There is no other way except through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is truly the morning that comes to those who are in darkness. May the Lord bless the message to our hearts this morning. Let us close our closing hymn. If you can please turn to hymn number 342. 342. And if you notice, it was written by Robert M. McShane, dying at the age of only 29, but doing a mighty work for God indeed. Let us pay attention to the words as well as it goes with our message. When this passing world is done, when has sunk yon radiant sun? When I stand with Christ on high, looking o'er life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Let us stand to sing the entire hymn. Remain standing for closing prayer. Our Father, our God, we thank thee, O Lord, for thy message to impute it unto our hearts, the message of Jesus Christ. Lord, it is a simple message. And Lord, we thank thee for it, and even that we may inquire to thee this morning, to inquire to thee about the eternal things, that what is seen is the temporal things. But Lord, may it bid to our vision to see the things of eternity. And Lord, we thank thee for it. We thank thee, O Lord, for thy gift of salvation. We thank thee for the grace of our Lord and Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O Lord, for this time of worship to come and to meet with thee. But Lord, even for that great verse, that knowing that the Lord does love his people, that none shall pluck thee out of my hand. We thank thee for it. Dismiss us in thy blessing. We ask of all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.